Tom, Canto 3. Chapter 9, text 6. Tavad bayam jivina deha surinimitam. Shokas priha paribhavo vipulash. Chalobya. Tavan mameta saravagraha artimulam. Yavan nate nirgriham abayam pravidnita loka. Tavad bayam javina deha surinimitam. Shokas priha paribhavo vipulascha loba. Tavan mamitya sadavagraha artimulam. Yavan natin grim abayam. Pravinita loka. Please chant. out to Jesus, please. Word for word translation. Tabat. Until then. Bayam. Fear. Javina. Wealth. Deha. Body. Surit. Relatives. Nimitam. For the matter of. Shokaha. Lamentation. Spreha. Desire. Paribabaha. Paraphernalia. Vipulaha. Very great. Cha. Also. Loba. Avaris. Tavat. Up to that time. Mama. Mine. Iti. Thus. Asat. Perishable. Abhagraha. Undertaking. Artimulam, full of anxieties. Yavat, as long as. Na, do not. Te, your. Angrim abhayam, safe lotus feet. Pravinita, take shelter. Lokaha, the people of the world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O my Lord, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties, and they are always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body, and friends. They are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires and paraphernalia, and they avariciously base their undertakings on the perishable conceptions of my and mine. As long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of such anxieties. Purport. One may question how one can always think of the Lord in regard to His name, fame, quality, etc. If one is embarrassed by thoughts of family affairs, everyone in the material world is full of thoughts about how to maintain his family, how to protect his wealth, how to keep pace with friends and relatives, etc. Thus, he is always in fear and lamentation, trying to keep up with the status quo. In answer to this question, this verse spoken by Brahma is very appropriate. A pure devotee of the Lord never thinks of himself as the proprietor of his home. He surrenders everything unto the supreme control of the Lord, and thus he has no fear for maintaining his family or protecting the interests of his family. Because of this surrender, he no longer has any attraction for wealth. Even if there is attraction for wealth, it is not for sense enjoyment, but for the service of the Lord. A pure devotee may be attracted to accumulating wealth, just like an ordinary man, but the difference is that a devotee acquires money for the service of the Lord, whereas the ordinary man acquires money for his sense enjoyment. Thus, the acquisition of wealth by a devotee is not a source of anxieties, as is the case for a worldly man. And because a pure devotee accepts everything in the sense of serving the Lord, the poisonous teeth of accumulation of wealth are extracted. If a snake has its poison removed and bites a man, there is no fatal effect. Similarly, wealth accumulated in the cause of the Lord has no poisonous teeth, and the effect is not fatal. A pure devotee is never entangled in material worldly affairs, even though he may remain in the world like an ordinary man. Om Gyanatim Andesya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitamina Tasmai Shri Gurudevena Maha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Translation one more time. O my Lord, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They are always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body, and friends. They are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires and paraphernalia, and they avariciously base their undertakings on the perishable conceptions of my and mine. As long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of such anxieties. Okay, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example in one in one class that all our business in this material world, it's like a little child playing on the shore of the ocean and building sandcastles. And the child is so enwrapped in his play, and he thinks it's so important, this business of building sandcastles, not knowing that the wave's going to come and knock everything away. And the parent is sitting there in the background just watching his child just do all this nonsense because the child is very adamant to do it. He's really into it. So the parent's just waiting for his child to realize that it's a waste of time. So that's our position in this material world. Everything that we are investing our time into to try to enjoy sense gratification, to try to become happy, Krishna is just patiently waiting in the heart is the super soul, waiting for his children to realize that it's all nonsense and that it's going to vanish in due course of time. Prabhupada also says, we've come to this world simply to pass stool. That's all. So if you go to the toilet, you don't hang out there. You do your business and you leave. You don't just want to hang out in the toilet and perform a marriage ceremony and have a nice girlfriend and get a job right on the toilet. That would be ridiculous. So it's the same thing in this material world. We don't want to hang out here. We don't want to loiter. It's a nasty place. We do our business and we get out. So there's selfishness and there's extended selfishness. Selfishness being what's in it for my own sense gratification, my body and my mind. Extended selfishness is my family, my nation, my planet, my species. These are all based on this false illusion of I and mine. My family is important to me because it's my family. Why does a mother love her child more than another person's child? It's because it's my child. The child belongs, it's connected to me. So I'm still in the center of my reality. Prabhupada very perfectly gives us the philosophy of how to take this selfishness that we've been conditioned to perceive in our daily dealings, to actually, for many, many thousands of births, to actually replace that selfishness with selflessness. We're putting Krishna, the spiritual master, and the Vaishnavas in the center. And I got a little glimpse of this a few weeks ago while I was out distributing books. I had this small epiphany, nothing major, that really, who am I? I'm just a very insignificant nobody, and I think I'm so important. But just take my, don't even think about myself. Take myself out of the center and only think about Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's pleasure. That's why I'm doing this service. It's, I'm not getting anything from it. It's only for them. So my existence, the only reason why I exist is to give them pleasure. So I wish I can have that realization all the time. I got it for a few seconds, at least one day. But that's the philosophy, is we're taking ourselves out of the center. His Holiness Radhanath Swami says that true humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. Always degrade, I'm so low, I'm so fallen, I'm an idiot. But it's to think of yourself less. There's no reason, just don't think of yourself. Obviously, we have to maintain our body, maintain our body and soul together. But really, we should be thinking about Krishna. And this is the goal of our philosophy. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely, and Lord Brahma also. Lord Brahma here is praying to the Lord for, well, the title of the chapter is Lord Brahma praying to Krishna for, you know, the intelligence to create. So first of all, he's glorifying the Lord. He's singing prayers, and he's also speaking the philosophy, saying, oh my Lord, the people of this world are embarrassed by all material anxieties, but if they take shelter of your lotus feet, they will be anxiety-less. So Lord Brahma is praying, and Srila Prabhupada very nicely elaborates how this family life, this materialistic life, it's useless, doesn't bring happiness. And Lord Rishabhdev, in the fifth canto, he says, Nayam deha deha bhajam na loke kashtam kamam arhati vidyabhajam ye tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam shudyad yasma brahma sukham tunantam. That this human life is not meant for sense gratification, which is available for the dogs and hogs that eat stool. But rather, this human life is meant for tapo divyam putra yena sattvam, to perform divine austerity, and that way you can experience brahmasukha, brahmasokyam, transcendental happiness, spiritual happiness. Nate vidu swartha katame vishnu durasha yer bahir arti manina anda yatandir upaniyamanas te pisha tantriyam uridam nibaraha. That this material world, people are, everybody has to follow somebody. That's the nature of the soul, is we're serving somebody and we're following somebody. That's what's going on in the spiritual world in the pure form. We are serving Krishna and we're following other pure devotees in their service to Radha and Krishna. So, and this, when we come to this material world, we become conditioned, and that service and following propensity is still there, but we are serving illusion, we're serving Maya, and we're following blind followers, we're following blind leaders. And when the blind followers are following the blind leaders, they all fall into the ditch of material existence. And Krishna actually explains in the Bhagavad Gita that all these regulative principles, they're actually, someone from the materialistic point of view can say, you guys are following all these rules and regulations. Where is your freedom? I'm free to act in the material world. I can do whatever I want. But actually, these regulative principles, Krishna says they're regulative principles of freedom. That's true freedom, because you're getting free from the modes of material nature. You may think in the material world you're free, but actually you're being dragged by the modes of nature. You're tied tightly by chains, and they're pulling you one way or another. And you think you're under the illusion that you're actually free. But people have this, you know, addiction to cigarettes, for example. I'm free to smoke cigarettes. No, you're not free. The cigarettes have you bound by the throat, and you're addicted to them. You can't get free from them. So these regulative principles of freedom are meant for that purpose, to become free. And there's this bogus philosophy of sahajiya, is that you don't have to practice any rules or regulations. You just have to have bhakti. You have to feel the bhav. You have to feel love for Krishna. You don't have to follow all these rules. ISKCON, they follow all these regulations, and they don't really know the essence is to follow Raganuga Sadhana, but this is cheap. This could fall in the category of Sahajism. And so this is shadow emotion. If you have some emotion for Krishna without following any rules, it's not the real thing. It's the shadow emotion. It's abhas. So this is emotion versus intelligence. We're using our intelligence based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And that will eventually get you to the real thing. Will get you to the real emotion, the real devotion, not the shadow. And Rishabhdev also says in the fifth canto that this attraction between male and female, this is the basic principle of material existence, just like Brahma is saying here in this particular verse we're reading today. This attraction between male and female, this is on this basis, on this misconception, this ties together the hearts of the male and female. And one becomes attracted to his body, his home, his property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. That's Hridaya Granthi. And Prabhupada, he defines Hridaya Granthi, the knot in the heart. It creates a tight knot that you can't get free from unless you have the sword of knowledge given to us by the Shastra. And you cut this knot and you become free. So the purport of the Prabhupada says that sex serves as the natural attraction between man and woman. And when they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. This is called Hridaya Granthi, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo, even though a man and woman separate, either for the principles of varnashram or simply to get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman, and the woman always thinks of the man. I remember Prema Sankirtan once told me, and this could apply to either of the genders, that when she's hugging one, she's looking at another, and she's thinking of another. You can also apply that to the male. When the male's hugging one, he's thinking of another and looking at another. So this is the most entangling circumstance in this material world, is attraction between man and female. And he goes on to say, thus a person becomes materially attached to family, property, and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor unfortunately identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or to the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. But such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. Therefore, Prabhupada says that it's best, if you can, live without it. Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Lord Brahma that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship, and consequently they forget their relationship with Krishna. We heard this one story with that devotee that was visiting from India, Shyamachandra Prabhu's father-in-law. He tells a story where he actually somehow drove into some lake or something, and the car was sinking. And then he finally somehow managed to get out of the car, but he doesn't know how to swim. Never learned how. So he thought that he was going to die. And at that point, he was raised a devotee, raised a Vaishnava. At that point, he didn't think of Krishna. He was thinking, what about my daughter? Who's going to take care of my daughter? Who's going to take care of my wife? And I heard a similar circumstance with Parameshwar Prabhu describes how one of his friends, a nice grihasta devotee, was a devotee for like 20 years, following nicely, got into a car accident, and also he thought he was going to leave his body, and his last thought was, what about my wife and children? So we know that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter, whatever you think about the time of death, that's what you'll attain. So if this is actually a very dangerous, it's a very precarious situation. If we know, if someone were to jump off a building and you only have a certain amount of time until you hit the ground, and you definitely are going to leave your body. In that space of time, you're not going to plan your marriage. You're not going to make so many plans in the material world because you only have a few seconds left. So it's the same thing. Once we get this material body, we're definitely going to leave our body at one time or another. We're actually predestined by our karma that we have a certain amount of time until we leave our body. So basically, time is running out. It's getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Now, within that time, before you hit the ground, why plan in this material world? We have to leave all our, we have to shut down all our accounts in this material world. If you had bank accounts and you're going to leave your body, shut them down. But in the same way, all our accounts, all our relationships in this material world, we have to consistently cut down till we simplify our life to basically just hearing, chanting, serving the Vaishnavas, spreading Krishna consciousness, serving the spiritual master. Hare Krishna. No, it's okay. But at the same time, actually, this is a nice verse. Shankaracharya says, Nadiyastana badam nabiyadesham drishva maga mahavesham itamam sa vishadi vikadam manasi vichintaya badam badam. Having seen the supposed beauty of a woman's heavy breasts and thin waist, do not become agitated and illusioned. For these attractive features are simply transformations of fat, flesh, stool, blood, and various other disgusting ingredients. You should consider this in your mind again and again. And Krishna says, Apuryamanam achalapatistam samudram apa pravashanti yatvat tatvat kamayam pravashanti sarve sashantam apnoti nakama kami. If we have this material body, material desires will come in the mind. The exact translation is that person who can tolerate the onslaughts of material desires, which enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but always remains still, can alone achieve peace and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. And Rupa Goswami says in the first verse of Nectar of Instruction, Vacho Vegam Manasokurita Vegam, Jiva Vegam Mudata Past Vegam, Etan. Yes. He says that we should, that person who can control the mind's demands, the actions of anger, the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, that person alone can make disciples all over the world. So it's not that necessarily we become completely free from the thought of material desire. Just Prabhupada says in that purport to 270, as long as we have the material body, material desires will come. We have a body that's, we have a biological makeup. So just as it's natural to become hungry, obviously, it's natural. So in the same way, because of our biological makeup, and if we're in a male body, it's natural we'll be attracted to a female. If we're in a female body, it's natural to become attracted to a male. So it's not that you'll become completely free from attraction altogether necessarily, at least in the beginning stages of devotional service. But one who can tolerate those desires, not entertain them in the mind and not act on them, that person alone can achieve peace, Krishna says, and that person can also make disciples all over the world. Prabhupada also said in this purport of this verse today, oh, sorry, not today, the verse I was reading from Canto 5, Rishabhdev, he says at the bottom of the purport that, on the contrary, the wife actually helps for their spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, people are bound by the knots of marital relationship. Consequently, they forget their relationship with Krishna. So sex life can also be used in Krishna's service. That's why we have the Varnashram system. And the Varnashram system is meant to systematically purify one's consciousness and bring them closer to pure Krishna consciousness, pure transcendence. So one can utilize their desires in Krishna's service. And actually, our movement and the world in general actually needs many nice examples of ideal grihastas, ideal couples, to show that it is possible to live a nice, family life and to raise children in Krishna consciousness. So everything can be used in Krishna service, basically, almost everything. And Prabhupada explains this in the second canto of this verse today. The second purport. That a pure devotee of the Lord never thinks of himself as the proprietor of his home. He surrenders everything unto the supreme control of the Lord. And even if there is an attraction for wealth, it is not for a sense enjoyment, but for the service of the Lord. So there was, and Srila Prabhupada was on this planet. Some disciples showed him a picture in a magazine of some yogi sitting down. And the yogi was sitting next to this pile of money. And the yogi was like this, like rejecting the money and looking away. And Prabhupada said to his disciples that if it was me, I'd be grabbing all the money, you know, so to use it for Krishna service. So there's an analogy in this regard that if someone were to drop their wallet and you saw them drop their wallet, it was very obvious it came out of their pocket, but that person didn't realize it. They kept walking. There you have three options. You can take the wallet for yourself and use it, and you would be considered a thief. And that's the materialist, where they're using Krishna's energy for their own sense gratification, not realizing who it belongs to or returning the property to who it belongs to. So that's the karmi, the materialist. Or second option is you see the wallet, but you don't do anything. Hey, it's not my wallet. It's none of my business. And you just kind of walk away and let the person walk away without his wallet and let the wallet on the ground. So that's like the yogi or like the impersonalist. He doesn't want to use Krishna's energy for anything. He renounces everything, even though you don't have anything, first of all, to renounce. But anyways, they want to renounce the world. But the self-realized person, the Krishna conscious person, he'll take the wallet and say, sir, this is yours, please, here you go, you dropped it. So in the same way, we're taking Krishna's energy and we're offering back to him. And everything is Krishna's energy. Our very existence is Krishna's energy. So we're offering our existence back to Krishna. But also we have to be very cautious because this is called yukta vairagya, using renunciation in the mode of using everything for Krishna's service. But at the same time, we don't want to use yukta vairagya as an excuse to enjoy the material world. And sometimes that does happen. Srila Prabhupada says in a purport to Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 30, he quotes the verse, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija, that the spiritual master implants the Bhakti Lata within the heart of the disciple, and from attentive hearing and chanting, that seed of devotional service, that Bhakti Lata grows into a plant, penetrates the Brahma Jyoti, goes to Goloka Vrindavan, and takes shelter under the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada goes on to say regarding this verse. Okay. When one reaches the lotus feet of Lord Krishna at Goloka Vrindavan, the watering process of hearing and chanting, as also chanting of the holy name in the pure devotional stage, fructifies, and the fruits grown there in the form of love of God are tangibly tasted by the devotee, even though he is here in this material world. The ripe fruits of love of God are relished only by the devotees constantly engaged in the watering process as described above. So what I'm about to read is very important, so please be attentive. It's like revolutionary. It might change your life. But the working devotee must always be mindful so that the creeper which has grown will not be cut off. Therefore, he should be mindful of the following considerations. 1. Offense by one at the feet of a pure devotee may be likened to the mad elephant who devastates a very good garden if it enters. And then 2, very similar, one must be very careful to guard himself against such offenses at the feet of a pure devotee, just as one protects a creeper by all-around fencing. Okay, please be attention. This is really good. 3, It so happens that by the watering process, some weeds are also grown. And unless such weeds are uprooted, the nurturing of the main creeper or the creeper of bhakti yoga may be hampered. So now he's going to describe what those weeds are that we have to be attentive not to water. 4. Actually, these weeds are material enjoyment, merging of the self and the absolute without separate individuality, and many other desires in the field of religion, economic development, sense enjoyment, and emancipation. One of the weeds is material enjoyment. 5. There are many other weeds, like disobedience to the tenets of the revered scriptures, unnecessary engagements, and that's something that really stood out to me, and that's something that I'm trying to work on. Unnecessary engagements, both gross and subtle. Is what I'm thinking about necessary? Is this activity that I'm doing right now necessary? Is it necessary to go on the internet and just kind of scroll and look at stuff? If it's not necessary, then you're actually watering the weeds and you're crippling your devotional service. Next one, killing animals and hankering after material gain, prestige, and adoration. Material gain, prestige, and adoration, don't be fooled. It doesn't mean that you're just a materialist in the material world and that's what you're going after. You can also be hankering after material gain, prestige, and adoration right here in the Krishna consciousness movement. You could be doing it at the temple. I want some position. I want to be adored. I want to be honored. So hankering for this is watering the weed. 6. If sufficient care is not taken, then the watering process may only help to breed the weeds. Amazing. If sufficient care is not taken, then the watering process, what was the watering process? Hearing and chanting. The watering process may only help to breed the weeds. So you may be chanting and hearing and reading, but if you're not cautious, you may just be watering the weeds. Stunting the healthy growth of the main creeper and resulting in no fructification of the ultimate requirement, love of God. 7. The devotee must therefore be very careful to uproot the different weeds in the very beginning. Only then will the healthy growth of the main creeper not be stunted. 8. And by so doing, the devotee is able to relish the fruit of love of God and thus live practically with Lord Krishna in this life and be able to see the Lord in every step. So if anybody wants to go through that and look at that, that is Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 30. Purport. So that's all I want to share here. If anybody has any questions, yes, Shamarari Prabhu. Well, that's quite interesting that you yourself are asking that because you have a god sister who, I don't know if anybody knows this, but you can look it up online. And it was confirmed by like many sannyasis in our movement, Shiva Ram Swami, Bhakti Charu Swami. So there's a disciple of Bhakti Charu Swami, who is now a Mataji, but she remembers her past life as a brahmachari. She was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, a brahmachari, and he left his body thinking of an Indian Mataji devotee in the temple, and he took birth as a woman Mataji. And you could say, okay, this is speculation, but you can read about it. She knew exactly like his name, where he's from, like it all lined up. And then, and just to kind of get free from any doubt, Bhakti Charu Swami even helped her like find out if her studies were correct, and it all lined up to be real. You know about that, right? Yeah, you met her. Amazing. Even if you're thinking a devotee. Okay, but part of your question is, what if you're thinking about, okay, who's going to take care of them? That could be like, could seem like a form of devotional service. I want them to be maintained nicely. But who are you? Are you the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You can't maintain anybody. Everybody's due their karma that they're going to either enjoy or suffer. And really, we should understand that Krishna's maintaining everybody. Of course, while we're still in this world and we have a body, we do have a duty. We do have to perform that duty. Maintaining a wife, maintaining a children, if you're in that situation. But you should understand that that's not your main duty. Your main duty is to love Krishna. And your main duty is to help them also love Krishna. And your secondary duty is to maintain them. And if you were to leave your body, you should understand that Krishna's in control of that situation. And Krishna's in control of everything. So you should be remembering Krishna at the time of death, not your wife and children. Okay, any other questions? Yes, Mataji. Shampri Mataji. I don't think there's a microphone because it's not working. Yes, Maharaj.
That's a good point, because the devotee never stops, but there is someone that stops in that position. So the devotee has to take shelter. That's a dependent one. That's a hold up on the fact that he's weak, that he lacks intelligence, that he's really not what he thinks he is or would like to be. And understanding that there is weakness there, begs the Lord for the strength that the Lord has.
Hare Krishna, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.